Hey everybody, welcome to episode 350 of the Running Rogue podcast. This is your host, Chris McClung, coming to you actually from Boston, as I'm here coaching and supporting our athletes from the Rogue community running on Marathon Monday. I'm excited to be here, also supporting a little bit behind the scenes from a podcasting standpoint of the Nobody Asked Us podcast with Des and Kara. So you'll definitely want to check out their Boston episodes. They've got one pre-episode Friday tonight that we should have out sometime over the weekend, and then they'll have another recap show coming early next week. So I'm excited to help them behind the scenes, get their content out, and I'm excited to watch and cheer and support everybody that's here doing Boston. It's always an amazing weekend. For those that might be tuning in from home, you're going to want to check out ESPN2 for the national broadcast and the local ABC affiliate if you're watching it from here in Boston. And of course, if you're watching it from another country, you'll have to check your local listings. I know the BAA has a full website that shows who's showing it by country, so you have to go check that out. But the coverage starts at 8:30 Eastern. The men's race starts shortly after 9:30. The women's race starts at 9:47. And then the main field first wave at least begins at 10 and goes all the way till about 11:30. So we'll have runners taking off all morning. This episode really is for all of you who might be racing either this weekend or in the next several weeks. I know we've got a bunch doing Eugene and Vancouver and Oklahoma City and everything in between. So hopefully this episode will help you get your mind right for race day. We're going to be talking about exactly that. I'm going to give you 10 tips for getting your mind right for race day so you can put your best foot forward when you toe that line. I'll get to that in just a second. Got a few announcements before we jump in. First of all, the virtual workshop that I'm offering you to learn how to run your best half marathon or marathon is still available. Everybody who's emailed has assumed it's probably closed. It's still not. I've actually got 3 spots left. So if you want to jump on that quickly. If you've been thinking it might be booked already, email me now, chris@roguerunning.com to secure your spot. I've got 3 spots left. Again, that's going to be Wednesday, April 24th. At 6:30 p.m. Central Time, 7:30 Eastern, 5:30 Mountain, 4:30 Pacific. So if you want to jump in on that, email me, chris@roguerunning.com to grab one of those final 3 spots. Also, if you're in Austin, I actually have more spots available in my in-person session, which is going to be Saturday, April 20th at 8:30 a.m. So if you're interested in that, you can also email me, chris@roguerunning.com. Hopefully, if you're interested in either one of those, you'll be able to get in. So send me a message. Also, before we jump into my main topic on getting your mind right for race day, we've got to thank my sponsors for this episode. I've got 3 of them. My now year-long sponsor, John G. Running Apparel, Care Of, who I've been working with for several years, and BetterHelp, the largest online therapy provider. Those are all sponsoring this episode. Thanks to all of them for supporting this podcast. I will be giving you discount codes for those 3 brands throughout the episode. Starting with right now, we're going to talk about Run Jonji. They're now my favorite running apparel company. Especially love their trail half tights, but all their shorts are great. Their tops are great. Love their merino line through the winter. And then they have a bunch of great new designs for the spring. So you want to go to runjonji.com, check out their gear. Again, everything you give to them, everything you buy, 2% of all revenue goes to support water projects all around the world. Plus, you're helping raise awareness of cultures and artists all around the world. And they've got that great 5-year run everywhere guarantee where if it doesn't last for any reason, they will replace it, no questions asked. So there's really no downside to going to their website using my code. It's just Rogue, R-O-G-U-E, for 10% off your first order, your 5th order, any order at runjonji.com. Go check it out. Okay, let's jump into my episode. Getting your mind right for race day. I felt like this was seasonally appropriate. I've got another episode, episode 150, that I also recommend, which also talks about mental prep and using mental tools for race day itself. So if you want to go back into the archives 200 episodes ago, that's a good one as well. But this one, we're going to hit on a lot of the things I recommend and some new thoughts too when it comes to preparing your mind for race day. So again, I've got 10 things. Here we go. The first is knowing your purpose and setting your intention for race day. Knowing your purpose and setting your intention for race day. This is something that we've talked about on this podcast going back to the very first episodes, is knowing why you want what you want. A lot of people can tell you why they run, but can they tell you why they want their specific goal? That may be something you have well articulated. It may not be, but I would encourage you as you near your race to reflect on front and center in your mind why you're doing what you're doing, why you want the goal that you want. What does it mean to you? What does it represent? Because if you have that purpose top of mind, it's going to push you when it gets tough. And you don't have to necessarily have the perfect thing if you haven't thought a lot about this before. But I highly encourage you to reflect on the why. Why do you want what you want? What do you want the specific goal? Why do you want to finish the race? Why do you want to finish it in a certain time? Why do you want to accomplish the thing that you're set out to accomplish? Put that front and center so that you can easily bring it to top of mind when the going gets tough on race day. One of the things, if you're struggling with this, that I like to consider is thinking about that finish line, thinking about getting to that finish line with the goal in hand, with the time you want on the clock, with that finish line in hand, if that's your goal, just to get it done, whatever it might be, whatever distance you might be racing, think about that moment of getting to that place, getting the goal, accomplishing it. And then think about what that would mean to you, what it represents to you. Visualize that moment. Let the emotions potentially of that moment come and tap into that concept, that idea, that thing that might be driving you in that moment, what you would reflect on when you achieve the goal. Tapping into that potential emotion at that finish line is one way to understand what it might mean to you. I'm here in Boston, and a lot of people have had the goal to get here in one form or another, either through qualifying or through raising money through charity. And the first thing I ask people when they talk about getting on that Boston qualifying journey or that journey to the Boston starting line, I ask them, why do you want Boston? What is it going to mean to you? And I would submit that those that don't understand that well might struggle more to get the goal than those who do understand it. Because it's not enough to want something because everybody else wants it, which is common in our running world. Boston qualifying or getting on this start line is every man's dream. It's our Olympics, so to speak. So a lot of people have the goal, and you might be looking around and say, hey, they have the goal, I should have the goal too. But why do you want the goal? Why does it matter to you? What's important? What does it represent in your life? Is it about proving something to yourself? Is it about proving something to someone else? What is it about? Is it about bringing yourself joy? Is it about finding your limits and pushing beyond them? What is it? Think about that purpose for this race so that you can bring it top of mind when things get hard. And then relatedly, set your intention to give everything to go get it. Connect your purpose to your intention to give all on race day, and you're going to give yourself a better chance to get that goal. And I've got 9 other things to do as well, but that's where it starts to me, is understanding the purpose and intention for the day. Number 2. I highly encourage you, when you get to this point, a week, 2 weeks out, days out from your race, to reflect on the work that you've done. Reflect on the work that you've done. The miles, the long runs, the workouts, the months and months of work, the fueling well, the sleeping well, the perhaps not going out as much as you would like, or choosing training over other life choices in this window so that you could put your best foot forward on race day. Think about everything that you've done and remind yourself that those are the reasons, those elements and pieces of work are the reasons you're going to be able to do it. And if your training hasn't been perfect, that's okay. I like to say there's no such thing as a perfect training cycle. No training is perfect. If you missed a day here or there, that's okay. if you modified a run here or there, that's okay. In fact, that was probably the right decision in the moment because you were feeling a certain type of way. So it doesn't have to be perfect, but do reflect on the work that you've done and how it points to your ability to get this done. And as a part of that, I encourage you to note your training wins before you get on the start line. Note your training wins before you get on the start line. To me, this is a really important step to having a bigger, broader view of what success looks like on race day. Because yes, we'd love for you to get your goal in your time, but sometimes it doesn't happen for whatever reason. You have a bad day, it's warm, things don't go your way. That can happen on race day. But no matter what happens, having done all the work in training, all of that carries with you to the next training cycle. So note, journal, write down your training wins. Maybe you've run the longest long run you've ever run. Maybe you did workouts at paces you've never hit before. Maybe you had a race in training that was a PR race because of all the work leading to this A race. Maybe you learned to use your mind better in training and can bring that now forward to race day. Maybe you became better at gauging effort versus relying on your watch. Write down the details of your victories in training so that you can carry those forward no matter what happens. I like to say there are training results and there are racing results. In an ideal world, those two would sing a happy song, but that's not always the case. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes the race doesn't go as well as you would like, even though all of the training was there. And that stinks, and I want you to feel all the feels if that happens to you. But please still have the perspective that there is still success to be had because of the wins you've already achieved in training before you even step on that starting line. And if you write those things down now, it's going to help you process whatever comes on the other side, whether you have a good day or not. So review the work that you've done and note your wins before you get to that starting line. That's number two. Number three, and this one's really hard, but be present. Be present. Be in the moment. What do I mean by that? When I talk to athletes, a lot of times they'll have scenarios or questions about what might happen to them at mile 20, 21, 22 in a marathon or 11, 12, the last mile 13 of a half. They'll be wondering about what might happen there and how they might respond, which is a reasonable question. But I encourage you not to let yourself go there, to instead, if you go there, fine, acknowledge it and then redirect, but instead focus on back to the present, which means focusing on what you can do in the moment to take that next step towards your goal. You can't run 26 miles at once. You can't run 13 miles at once. As cliche as it sounds, you have to run it a mile at a time. And that's the way I want you to be ready on that start line, to be ready to take one step at a time, do it 1 mile at a time. Because you can't know if it's possible to get your goal. You can't know. But what you can know is what you can do for a mile. You know you can run goal pace for a mile. And you don't have to run 13 of them or 26 of them all at once. You can only do it sequentially 1 mile at a time. And you know you can do 1 mile. So all you have to do is step on that start line and execute your plan 1 mile at a time. And if your mind wanders to that point, it's okay. We're human. It's going to happen. Acknowledge it. And then refocus back to the present. What can I do in this moment to take the next step towards my goal? If you're in the race, that's running the mile you're in. If you're pre-race, that's planning and preparation, which leads me to number four. What do you do with anxiety and nerves going into race day? What do you do with anxiety and nerves going into race day? And by the way, if you have them, it's completely normal. It's expected. It means your goal is big enough. It's also a way for your body to know that it's time to get ready for a big thing. So it's actually a part of our evolutionary response to a big task. for these nerves to calm because it helps kick in our endorphins, our adrenaline, and all the things that are going to help us physiologically to go do what we need to do when it's time. And so those nerves, that anxiety is normal. We all have it. I've done 21 marathons. And I can tell you before every single one, I've gotten nervous. It never goes away and you really don't want it to. Because again, it's a part of that physiological preparation response. But what can you do with that? Again, acknowledge it, but then channel it into something productive. And I encourage you to channel it into something preparatory. What can you do to prepare? Study your race plan. Write down your nutrition plan. Study the course map. Plan the pre-race meals. Make reservations where you need to make reservations. Perhaps plan where you're going to see your family and friends and where they might cheer. Channel that nervous energy into something productive. Don't just live in it. Acknowledge it and then channel it. That is absolutely critical to being able to turn that energy, which is good energy in some ways, into something that can be productive. So channel your anxiety, your nerves into preparation. And by the way, if you can't do that, then distract yourself from it. Dissociate. Watch something funny on TV. Binge something on Netflix. Read a book. Watch a movie. Hang out with friends if they help you take your mind off things. Do what you need to do to step away from those feelings and emotions by either channeling them and using it for preparation or dissociating and moving away from them so they don't overwhelm you. That's number four. You got to channel that energy and those nerves. And by the way, as an aside here, many people worry about not getting sleep on the night before a race. And I wanted to tell you definitively, don't worry about that if it happens to you. It's very common for you not to get a good night's sleep the night before a race. Again, that's a part of your body's response to prepare for the big thing that's coming. And for many of us, it's unavoidable. So don't worry about it. If you have a bit of a sleepless night, that's okay. Your body's going to be ready to go do its thing. I've had a lot of people not sleep well and then go have great days, including myself. So instead of worrying about that night before sleep, do your best earlier in the week and then the days before to get good sleep to help you prepare yourself for that last night, which may be a bit sleepless. But if that happens to you, don't panic. It's normal. It's a part of the process, again, of prepping your body for the big thing ahead. Don't worry about it. Don't let it overwhelm you if that happens to you. Okay, that's number four. Before we get to number five, I want to talk about my partnership with BetterHelp. And it's good timing because we were just talking about channeling pre-race anxiety and nerves and really prioritizing how to refocus yourself away from things that aren't serving you to focus on things that are serving you. BetterHelp is the largest online therapy provider. And they can help you do just that, help you prioritize the things that matter so that you can focus on them and also take the things that matter and optimize them in your world, whatever that might look like, from having better relationships to dealing with grief and other challenges that you might face to being a parent, which is something that I've used therapy for, helping learn how to parent a teenager and prioritize how I show up for my kids. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, which you can, by the way, switch at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/runningrogue today to get 10% off your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/runningrogue. Go check it out. Okay, so we've talked about setting your purpose and intention, reviewing the work that you've done, noting those pre-race wins before you show up on that start line, being present, and then channeling anxiety into preparation so that you're ready to go. The next thing I want you to think about is reframing the what if negative into the what if positive. We are really good at deciding what could go wrong, of figuring out how all the ways we can screw this up. We are really good at that. We're really good at inventing things that might go wrong and projecting it into the future. And there's nothing wrong with doing some planning and visualization around dealing with challenges in the race. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is letting our minds focus on the negative, focus on the obstacles. One of the things that we know from psychology that if you tell someone to not hit something, to avoid an obstacle, then they actually become more likely to hit it versus telling them what they should do instead. And this is a little bit of the mind trick I want you to play in yourself. Don't think of or dwell on the what if positives. If they come to your mind, fine, acknowledge it, but then move past it. And instead, focus your mind share on the what if positive. What if you run the plan? What if you face a challenge in the race and you overcome it? What if you're able to push and actually get faster when the going gets tough? What if you pass a lot of people at the end? What if you get that big goal that you always wanted at that finish line? Think about the what if positives. At least let the mind share relative to the positive things that could happen versus the negative things to be happen be much greater. I want your mind to be overwhelmed by the positive and not to be overwhelmed by the negative. Don't dwell on the negative because it will bring you down. And when the negative does pop into your mind, when you're thinking about that terrible thing that could happen at mile 22 or mile 12, then I want you to shift it, acknowledge it, and then shift it into what's the positive thing on the flip side that could happen. Okay, that's number 5. Shift your mind from the what if negative to the what if positive. Number 6, this is bread and butter stuff, mantras. Mantras. Science tells us it works to have a word, a phrase to focus on, to be able to dissociate from the pain or maybe just the task at hand. It helps you refocus your mind on doing the good thing, the positive thing. If you read Alex Hutchinson's book, Endure, he talks about this concept in there as he was previously a skeptic of this idea that positive affirmations can actually make you faster, help you run better on race day, but it's absolutely true. Mantras are the version of this that I believe in and that I coach. There's two types that I talk about, rhythm mantras and fight mantras. Make sure you have 2 or 3 in each of those categories for race day so that you are absolutely ready to go to channel a word, a phrase, could also be an image in order to refocus the mind on something positive, dissociating from whatever challenge or pain might come to you on race day. So think about a word, a phrase, could be an image that will help you channel those two mindsets. Rhythm mantras are for early in the race when it's all about finding a rhythm, being relaxed, being smooth and in control, and burning as little energy as possible for as long as possible. And then fight mantras are for the end, those final 3 miles of a half, those final 6 miles of a marathon, where it's time to dig deep and you need to fight and push and try to get the most out of it. Because even if you're having the best day, it's still going to be hard and you're still going to want to try to get every second out of it. And so what are those mantras that are going to help you relax? Rhythm mantras, what are they going to help you fight and push? Fight mantras when it matters. People always ask me, what are examples? I can give you some examples for me, but I think mantras have to be very personal. So I wouldn't necessarily encourage you just to lift someone else's mantra unless it happens to really resonate with you personally, because you need to do the work to think about what are the words or phrases that are going to mean something to you. And even if you have a mantra from somebody that you like, think about it, consider it a little bit and ask yourself, is there a way to sharpen it up for your use? But for rhythm mantras for me, I like to remind myself to smile. I like to remind myself to breathe. I'll go into a breathing relaxation protocol in a race that will help bring my heart rate down, make everything feel smooth and in rhythm. I've also used the phrase light and relaxed as a rhythm mantra to just remind myself to be in that space, light and relaxed, so that I can, again, burn as little energy for as long as possible. And then when it comes to fight mantras, one of my favorites that's probably worked the best for me is every second counts. Just reminding myself that every second counts in these races, not to let off the gas for even a second. I have also used the phrase, when it hurts, push harder. When it hurts, push harder, to use pain as a signal to actually go harder, to press into it versus backing off, because ultimately it's going to hurt probably either way. But if you push harder, push through that pain, then you'll get to that finish line sooner and then it'll end faster. So when it hurts, push harder is another one. I am strong, I am fast is another one that I've used in particularly short races that tends to work well for me. So those are three examples that have worked for me, but there are countless others, and I want you to actually do the homework to think about what's going to work for you before you come up with this list. Come up with two or three in each category: rhythm mantras, fight mantras, and then be prepared and open to what might resonate on race day. You might pick one or two of those that resonate. You might not use any of them, and you might think of a third or fourth mantra that just came to you on race day that you find more relevant. That's okay too. But if you've done the homework to prepare your mind with these mantras, then it's going to help you put you in that mind space, potentially come up with something new on race day. But do your homework, prep your mantras, just like you prep in training physically, prep your mantras mentally as well. That's number six, mantras. And number seven, relatedly, also think about what other mental tools will help you on race day. What other mental tools will help you on race day that have worked for you in the past? There's a couple that I talk about in episode 150. These are two of my favorites. I've also talked about some other examples in that episode if you want to go back and look. But I want you to reflect back on your races. Think about what's resonated with you, what's worked for you, and make sure you're packing your toolkit to go to race day. Two that have worked for me that I use probably in almost every race that I run would be going fishing, number one, especially at the end of a race. These are races for a reason. And yes, you might be chasing a time and you might not necessarily care about your place, but that's not the point. You can use the people in front of you as carrots to get you to that finish line. It helps to race people. So I encourage you to look ahead, not 10 meters, but 50 meters ahead. Pick out a shirt, a singlet, something bright that looks like you can go get it. Chase that person down, go fishing, put a hook in their back, so to speak, reel them in, go fishing. And then once you pass that person, look 50 meters ahead again and find the next person to go chase. But keep leapfrogging people, because if you're not passing people typically at the end of a race, you're also slowing down yourself, especially in a marathon. So go fishing, go find people to pass and try to beat them. Race. The other one I like to use, which is a neutral mantra of sorts. Typically, I save this for the final mile, maybe 2 miles, because I find that it only works for a certain window of time. And I like to use it late race, which is simply counting. Again, it's kind of like a neutral mantra, but I'll count to 30, sometimes to 60, and tell myself I can do anything for 30 seconds or 60 seconds. And I'll just count in my head up to 30, up to 60, and push during those 30 seconds or 60 seconds. Then when I get to the end of that number, I'll do it again. I'll count back up to 30 or back up to 60, and I'll keep doing that until I get to that finish line. So that is an example of a neutral mantra of sorts that tends to work best for me late in a race, in that final half mile, mile, maybe 2 miles. But I find that to be a highly effective tool. So know your tools and put them to work for you. Number eight, visualization. Visualization. This is absolutely one of my favorite tools to use pre-race, which is to visualize the race start to finish with you achieving your goal at the end. Science actually tells us that if you visualize yourself doing the thing that you want, then it has a similar neurological response to actually doing that thing in real life. Again, I'll say that again. Visualizing doing something actually has a similar neurological response as doing it in real life. So you can run the race in your mind's eye. You can get the goal in your mind's eye, and it will help you achieve that goal because it'll be like, neurologically, like having done it already. I know Aaron Rodgers, great NFL quarterback, a little controversial at times, but one of the things he's talked about in making tight throws or tough throws in a game is that he visualizes those throws. And so when it comes to actually doing it on game day, he's done it before. He may not have actually physically done it, but he's done it in his mind's eye, and that helps him then do it when it counts, when it matters, when he needs it on game day. And the same is true on race day for you. And I encourage you to use all of your senses. What I like to do is do this over a period of several easy runs, perhaps during the taper period, or if your race is this weekend or on Monday, you can spend 30 minutes or an hour doing it like a meditation of sorts as you get ready for your race this weekend. But what I want you to do is use all of your senses, think about all elements of the race, from the chaos of the pre-race start to that opening mile where the adrenaline kicks in and you've got all those people around you in the traffic and all the things you know comes with a race start, to finding that rhythm, using your rhythm mantras in those early miles, to executing your plan to start conservatively, work towards race pace, find that rhythm, to taking your nutrition and what that's going to look like, to different parts of the course if you've seen it, what that's going to look like and feel like at various stages, and then of course walk through mentally the process of working through a challenging section where maybe you're working harder than you think you should be, and how are you going to manage that, how are you going to deal with that, to the closing miles and what are those going to feel like and look like, and then of course to that finishing straightaway with hopefully your goal time on the clock. So think through all of those moments. Think about what it's going to sound like, feel like, what you're going to see, what you're going to smell, perhaps what you're going to hear. Use all of your senses in the visualization process to make it as real and palpable as possible. And that's going to help prepare that nervous system so that you're ready to then execute those things in real life when it counts. So that's number 8, visualization. Before we get to the final two, I want to talk about my last sponsor for this episode, Care/of. I've been working with them for multiple years now. They are an online vitamin and supplement company. They also send powders. They ship them to your door, subscription style, so that you can have exactly what you need every single day without having to think about it. Of course, now they're also offering their best-selling vitamins via bottles. So if you'd prefer to buy in bulk versus the monthly subscription packs, you can also choose that route now. But the nice thing about Care/of is it makes it really easy to take those small steps to get the nutrition that you need to be your best running self. All you have to do is go to their site, take their quiz, which helps you identify what should be in those packs. You can also select from their menu of available items. Everything they offer on the site, you can see the science and research behind it. You can also see the exact ingredients, so there's no surprises. So for 50% off your first Care/of subscription order, go to takecareof.com and enter the code ROGUE50. That's ROGUE 50. Again, go to takecareof.com and use the code ROGUE50. Go check it out. Okay, last two on the mental prep side. Number 9 is execute your plan no matter what. Execute your plan no matter what. You'll have a pace plan. You should have a pace plan. You'll have a nutrition plan. It doesn't necessarily have to be perfect, but you need to set the intention. You need to commit to executing it to the best of your ability, because that's going to give you the best shot to have a chance at your goal. What we talk about in coaching is you want to control the controllables. You can't control the weather. You can't control the crowds. You can't sometimes control exactly how you might feel on a day, but you can control how you execute, whether you hit those paces. And again, it doesn't have to be perfect, but you want to be as solid as you can be from an execution standpoint to give yourself the best chance to get that result. Take as much of the variability out of the equation as you can manage, and go execute mile by mile. That includes paces. That also includes nutrition. You want to be taking those gels when you said you would take those gels. I've had very experienced marathoners tell me that they skipped their gel at mile 14 or 15 because they felt good. Well, you should feel good at that point in the marathon. Do not skip your gels. I like to encourage people to write down their nutrition plan. Not that you actually have to write it on your hand, but just write it on paper. When are you going to take your gels? How are you going to manage your hydration at the water stations? Are you taking salt pills? What are all the pieces of the nutrition plan? Write it down. Again, it doesn't mean you have to carry that with you, but write it down so that you have the plan and then commit to executing that no matter how you feel. Because in general, with the nutrition, you want to take it before you feel bad. So take it on plan, no matter what. Again, so you can give yourself that best chance by managing all the variables that you yourself can. And people will tell me sometimes from a pacing perspective that it's hard to execute on paces. Sure, it is. Hopefully you've practiced it on your training runs or in some race prep type long runs where you've had the opportunity to run pace for sections of your long runs. Hopefully you've had that opportunity to practice getting to that rhythm. But even so, it's still going to be challenging because you remember you've got all the adrenaline of a start line. A lot of people go out too fast. Well, if you know that, I always say start slow and then slow down some more. Because if you miss anywhere in the first mile, you want to miss slow. Because that will conserve energy for later versus missing too fast, which is really, really risky early on in a race where if you go too fast in that first mile, that can cost you minutes on the back end. So if you miss, miss slow, then find that rhythm. So execute your paces, execute nutrition to the best of your ability to control all of the variables that are in your power. That's number nine. Number 10 is a mantra of sorts that I was taking into Houston this past year that hopefully can help you. You've heard me perhaps talk about it on my Houston recap episode. But number 10 is just reminding yourself that no matter what happens, all you can give is all you have on the day. All you can give is all you have on the day. If you give all you have, if you put everything into it that you can, if you execute to the best of your ability, if you use those mantras, if you get to the end and fight with whatever you have, regardless of whether you get that goal or not, you can walk away with pride. And it might hurt. You might be severely disappointed. That's okay. But you're going to get back up and you're going to go again. And if you get it, then you're going to celebrate it and you're going to experience all of that joy. But all you can give is all you have. That's all you have to commit to, is giving everything that you can. Then you can walk away with pride no matter what. You'll have some lessons. You'll have some memories. You'll have some feelings and emotions to carry forward. But if you've given everything you had, then there will be a moment down the road, regardless of how you feel at that finish line, there'll be a moment down the road where you can look back on this race with pride. And hopefully that also means looking back on this race with pride for getting the goal. But even if it doesn't, the reason we do this is to test ourselves, to find our limits and move past them. And there's beauty in success and the joy of that. And there's beauty in failure and what you can learn from it and how that hardens you and shapes you and molds you to become a better, stronger runner and person down the road. And the pathway to success via both of those outcomes, whether you get your goal or not, is by giving all that you have. I've talked about this before in different audiences, but in 2016, when I did Boston, ended up having to walk the last 5 miles of the race because I got a stress fracture in the race, or at least my fracture kind of pushed over the edge in the race. I didn't know I had it going in, but it popped up early in the race, started to feel a little twinge in my heel, and that became progressively more painful as the race went on, to the point where after I got over Heartbreak Hill, I felt like I couldn't run and do it in a safe way any longer. I didn't know at the time that it was a broken calcaneus bone, but it felt like it could be my Achilles. Didn't know what was happening, but I just knew that I couldn't run, that it didn't feel safe for me to do so. And so I walked the last 5 miles of the Boston Marathon and ended up with the personal worst marathon time. And obviously there was a lot of emotion. I wrote a blog about it that I could find, but all the emotions came from being angry and frustrated and sad and all the things over this last very painfully slow 5 miles. And obviously it was hard on the day and in the moment. But when I look back on that race, I know that I gave everything I had, and all that I had that day was a personal worst marathon, was the ability to walk those last 5 miles. That's literally all I could do. That's all my body had on the day. And so when I look back on it, people would ask me if I felt like I needed revenge or I needed redemption. And really, you know, there was nothing that needed to be redeemed from my vantage point because I had given everything I had, and that just happened to be what I had on that day. my body failed me, but that's all I had. And I got it done, and I got to that finish line very painfully, slowly over those final miles, but walked away with an immense amount of pride because I did exactly what I set out to do, which is to give everything I had on the day. And that's just happened to be what I had. So whether you have everything and it all goes swimmingly or goes exactly the way you visualized in your head, or whether it goes wrong or there's challenges you didn't anticipate and maybe don't get that goal, if you push all the way to that finish line and give everything you have, then you can walk away with pride. Yes, feel the feels, feel the emotions of it all, but walk away with pride. So number 10, all you can give is all you have. Rest on that, because that makes any outcome worthy of the effort. So there you go. 10 things to think about, mental reminders to prep quickly, running back through them. Number one, think about your purpose, set your intention for race day. Number two, review the work that you've done and note those pre-race training wins. Number three, stay present, stay in the moment. You can only run the mile you're in. Number four, channel that pre-race anxiety and nerves into preparation so that you're even more ready to go do what you want to do. Number five, switch those what-if negatives to what-if positives, because you never know. Maybe the good things will happen to you late in the race versus all the negative things that you think could happen. Number six, don't forget those mantras, rhythm mantras, fight mantras. Number seven, bring your mental toolkit, going fishing, counting, whatever helps you in those late stages of the race to get to that finish line. Number eight, visualize using all of these tools and put it to work in your mind's eye so that you're ready to do it when it counts. Number nine, execute your plan for paces, for nutrition, no matter what. And number 10, remember that all you can give is all you have. From Coach Chris on the Running Rogue podcast, I'm wishing all of you spring racers the best of luck. I hope this helps get your mind ready and that you have the best day and you smash all of those goals. But I can tell you, I'll be proud of you either way. With that, thanks again for my sponsors to this episode, John G, BetterHelp, Care Of. Thanks to all of you for listening. Good luck to everybody running Boston on Monday. We'll talk to you next time.